Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Wednesday, and thanks for joining us at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm very, very excited about this particular teaching. You know, one of the truths that transformed my life is the fact, is the truth and the reality that God wants us to be in His presence, that God wants us to be around Him, that God wants us to experience the shining glory surrounds Him at all times. And today, Derek Prince is going to teach us about how Thanksgiving and praise and worship carry us into the presence of God, about how the presence of God, in a sense, responds and comes and dwells exactly where we're worshiping. This is extremely powerful. You know, I became a Christian because I wanted to know Jesus. I became a Christian because I wanted to have a real relationship with a real human being. And then when I became a Christian, I kind of got caught up in all of the stuff of the church and all of the stuff of the Christian life, and I sort of lost that thrill of just being with my Father God. Worship restored that. And I got to tell you, it's going to be a transforming thing for you too, if you're willing to open your life to it. So listen, if you're going to miss or if you have missed any of this teaching, be sure and log on to our website at derekprince.org, and you'll be able to listen to this teaching, really get it into your soul. But now, let's prepare to do what we hear as Derek Prince teaches us about an attitude in God's presence.
Over the past 2 weeks, I've been explaining that whenever we come into God's presence, He requires that we bring to Him various gifts or sacrifices. These include, but are not limited to, gifts from our money or material possessions. On a higher level, Scripture speaks of various spiritual gifts or sacrifices that God requires us to bring to Him. Specifically, I mentioned 3 such spiritual gifts or sacrifices: thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Over the past 2 weeks, I've discussed the first 2 of these spiritual gifts or sacrifices, thanksgiving and praise. This week, I'm going to deal with the 3rd one, worship. Let me go back for a moment to the brief definition that I gave earlier of these 3 things, thanksgiving, praise, and worship, how they are related and how they differ. I compared them to the colors of the rainbow. The colors of the rainbow are distinct, but yet they blend into one another. There's no absolute line of demarcation. The same, I believe, is true of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. They are distinct, but they naturally blend into one another. There's one way that I suggested to distinguish the 3. I said this: thanksgiving relates to God's goodness. Praise relates to God's greatness. Worship relates to God's holiness. Now, I wouldn't make an absolute law out of that, but I think it gives us a good way to think about these 3 gifts or sacrifices of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving being related to God's goodness, praise to God's greatness, worship to God's holiness. Now, holiness is in a class by itself. It's the attribute of God most difficult for the human mind to comprehend. So, therefore, is worship. It's the most difficult of all these 3 gifts or sacrifices for us to understand and offer in a way acceptable to God. Thanksgiving and praise are primarily utterances of our mouths, but worship is primarily an attitude. It's important to understand this. Every one of the words in the Bible that's regularly translated by any word for worship is a word that primarily indicates an attitude of the body. This is true both in the Hebrew of the Old Testament and in the Greek of the New. Let's look at some of the attitudes which are regularly associated with worship in the Scripture. The first one is to bow the head or the upper body. An example is given in Exodus 4:31. Moses had returned from speaking to the Lord at the burning bush, had received his commission, and brought back to the elders of Israel the news that God was going to deliver them. And in this verse, we read, "When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped." See that worship is expressed by bowing down. Often, it includes as well the stretching out of the hands with the palms upwards, in an attitude of expectancy, as it were, waiting to receive from God. An example of this is found in Psalm 143, verse 6, where David says, "I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." That's an attitude of worship and expectancy. Another attitude that's common in the scriptures is to kneel, to bend the knees. In Psalm 95, verse 6, the psalmist says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God." It's interesting that in Hebrew, in a way that I couldn't explain in detail, the word for to kneel and the word for knee are directly connected with the word to bless. So when we bend our knees and when we kneel, it's one of the ways that we bless the Lord. Then another attitude is to fall prostrate or face down. In Leviticus 9:24, it says this about the offering of the Levites in the tabernacle of Moses. "Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down." That was their response of worship to the supernatural manifestation of God's power in sending fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 38 and 39, after fire had fallen from heaven upon the sacrifice of Elijah on Mount Carmel, this is what happened. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" So that was again the response of worship. The people fell prostrate. They cried out, acknowledging God.
I once heard a teacher say that an unfulfilled soul is a stronghold about to happen. You know what? We were made for God. We were made to know Him. We were made to have our hearts filled to overflowing in His presence. And worship is the key to that. Worship is not just something that we do as a discipline and a duty, although it certainly has that element to it. Worship is how we fulfill what we were made for. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Very glad that you're with us here. We're really in a phenomenal and transforming series. If you've missed any of this great teaching on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship, log on to the website, derekprince.org. You'll find it, other teachings, other material about Derek Prince Ministries, great stuff. But we're learning today about worship as an avenue into the presence of God. Let's listen to this transforming and powerful teaching from the Word of God.
1 Kings chapter 18, verses 38 and 39. After fire had fallen from heaven upon the sacrifice of Elijah on Mount Carmel, this is what happened. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" So that was again the response of worship. The people fell prostrate. They cried out, acknowledging God. This is true not only of worship on earth, but it's also true of worship in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read this description of worship as it's continually conducted in heaven. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. So we see there, even in heaven, worship is expressed by the people that inhabit heaven, even the 24 elders who sit in the immediate presence of God, falling down before Him on their faces. It sometimes amuses me that we are prepared to accept that in heaven and read those passages and see nothing strange about them, and yet if people were to do that on earth, most churchgoers would be offended or at least extremely surprised. And yet that is a pattern of worship that continues all through Scripture, throughout the entire history of God's people. It's falling down prostrate on our faces before the Lord. To fill out this picture of worship that I'm seeking to give you, I'd like to return for a moment to a passage that I referred to earlier in my talk on Thanksgiving. The passage is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It records a vision that Isaiah had, and in this vision he saw the worship of heaven. So again, this is worship on a heavenly level. This is what Isaiah says. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs." The word seraph is directly connected in Hebrew with the word for fire. So seraphs are fiery creatures. "Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." We point out three things there that are represented in that picture: worship, praise, and service. Let's look at worship first. Worship was expressed by the fact that the seraphs in the presence of God covered their faces and their feet. Reverence, awe, worship. Praise was expressed by their spoken words: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Service was expressed by their flying. They were flying to and fro in the service of God. There's certain important proportions that we need to notice in this account. The seraphs used four wings for worship and two for service. In other words, worship is more important than service. And then again, worship comes before service. We can compare the words of Jesus when He resisted the devil's temptation to worship the devil. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written," and Jesus is quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, "worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." So we worship before we serve. Another concept that's very closely connected with that of worship is fellowship. By a happy coincidence, in the English language, both these words end in the ending ship. Fellowship and worship, both are ends, not means. Fellowship is the end purpose of the gospel. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So that's the end purpose of the gospel, fellowship with God. Worship is the end purpose of history. In Psalm 66, verse 4, the psalmist says this: "All the earth will worship Thee and will sing praises to Thee." And in Psalm 86, verse 9, "All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord." So the consummation of human history will be the whole population of the earth worshipping God. So worship and fellowship, these are two ends to which the Bible directs us, and they're closely related.
You know, Derek has ended his teaching in this last segment on a powerful truth, a transforming truth, and that is that worship is the end and the purpose of history. You know, it's interesting. If we're bored with worship in church, what are we going to do when we're in eternity and that's all we're doing is worshiping God? There's obviously a disconnect. Listen, some of my friends are about to join me in the studio as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and joining me in the studio today to help us really digest this wonderful teaching by Derek Prince on praise and worship are two of my good friends. First of all, David Holland, one of the producers of this show. David, always great to have you here.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
And Christopher Selby, the executive producer of the show and a Derek Prince grandson, is also with us. Christopher, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Stephen. Hi.
You know, I'm very aware as a historian and a guy who writes and works in history that next year is the birth date, hundreds of years, of course, birth date of Charles Wesley, who was one of the great hymn writers in the church. And when I look over his hymns, as I have been for a project I'm working on, I'm keenly aware that hardly ever did he mention himself.
Yeah.
Hardly ever in the great hymns of the church do you have me, mine, how I'm feeling, oh Lord, here I am, I'm standing before you, it's all about me kind of thing. And I don't mean to hit it too hard, but I'm just trying to maybe play devil's advocate here just a little bit. Have we become very internal, very psychological, very selfish almost about our worship? And is this maybe diminishing our experience of some of the power that Derek's been describing?
Well, I'll hit that real hard.
Jump
That's
in.
What I'll do. I think it's a plague on the church, frankly. I think it's something that has really drawn us far away from what God's true intention of worship is supposed to be. This focus on ourselves is an epidemic, in my opinion. You know, we've kind of turned worship from being about God to being all about me. People might be listening thinking, well, what's he talking about? You know, I don't go to church and I don't sing about how great I am. I don't, you know, sing about, you know, how holy I am. You know, I'm singing, you know, songs about God. But if we turn this worship time into, hey, God, do this for me, we're making it all about ourselves. You know, heal me, bind up my broken heart, give us the nations, bless us, pour out your presence in this place. You know, and those are all good, godly things, but it has shifted the focus from the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and his holiness into basically what can God do for us. As you know, I've ministered in drama over the years, and I've been out of it long enough to know that I don't think I'll ever do this, but I'd love to see a skit where, you know, it's the king's birthday and everyone comes in asking for him to do stuff for them, you know, and how ironic that is.
Sure.
Well, we do that in worship, I think, a lot.
All right, Dave, let me jump on the other side of this
and
set you up to kind of give us some balance here, or maybe oppose a little bit what Chris has said, if you want to, because the other side of it is, when we read the Psalms, David does. I mean, the Psalms, again, are our model for worship, our models for our songs and our hymns. When we read the Psalms of David, you know, he is saying, you know, I'm soaking my bed with my tears, my bones are all broken, I'm in grief all night long, I groan, oh God, I'm so pitiful. So there is that side of worship, which is, Lord, here I am, do something, won't you? And at the same time, I mean, obviously, Chris is right. It seems like we have slipped into some kind of an imbalance. Help us sort this thing out, Pastor.
Well, God is mindful that we are but dust. It's difficult to dispute what Chris has said because there is so much truth in it. And the fact that those psalms that you mentioned are in their entirety, in the entirety of a psalm, it's telling a story. And invariably, David starts with, "Oh, poor, pitiful me, my enemies are surrounding me, everybody wants my life, I feel like I've been abandoned." But before the psalm is over, David is saying, "But you, O Lord, are my deliverer."
Right.
He always brings it back around, and there are the psalms where David says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Eventually, David always turns it back vertically. Yes, God is mindful that we're but dust, but he also is mindful of the fact that unless we get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our own comfort, off of our own needs, off of our very, very real challenges and problems, and get them on him, our ability to receive help from him in those things is very, very limited. He knows that if it is only in becoming others-focused and him-focused that our needs that we're focused on can really get met.
Yeah.
Well, and that being the case, then it has to be a rather odd experience if you really step outside of it for a moment to have a whole congregation of people singing an I song rather than a we, rather than, you know, I mean, in the great hymns, we sang as a congregation and we were very aware of the fact that we were part of a body and the individual really was de-emphasized. Maybe it was an imbalance, but that was the thing. Now we'll have a whole room of people saying, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship," as though it's an individual experience. And we just, and by the way, the folks standing next to me just happened to be in the way or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there's got to be, you know, here's the reason I'm bringing all this up. If what Derek is describing is true, then we're not experiencing it. I mean, I got to tell you frankly, you know, I mean, if what Derek is describing is true, then when a First Church of whatever in Dallas-Fort Worth, which is where we're sitting right now in this studio, worships the Lord, then shouldn't the bar and the strip joint down the street be affected? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shouldn't the porn joint be, shouldn't the cult, shouldn't we have witches complaining that on Sunday morning they can't contact demons? I mean, shouldn't there be some spiritual effect throughout the entire area? If we're not experiencing that, could it be that the individualization of our worship is what's limiting that power?
Well, I think that's exactly right, and I think the difference is where we go from what is our ends and what is our means. You know, earlier in the week, you know, my grandfather, you know, teaches using the example of Paul and Silas in the prison. You know, and the incredible supernatural manifestation that took place when they worshiped the Lord. Well, I have a hard time believing that Paul and Silas are sitting in that cell singing, "Oh Lord, break this prison down. Oh Lord, break these chains. Oh Lord, you know, bring an earthquake." I think they were worshiping God. They were focused on him. And I think when we do that, when our focus truly is upon the person of God and who God is and what he his greatness, his goodness, his holiness, that is where we see the supernatural effect, not the cart before the horse, so to speak.
Well, that whole story in 2 Chronicles 20, where they worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and he sent ambushes against the enemy, they weren't worshiping him as the God of war. They weren't saying, "Oh, God, arise." They were just saying, "Lord, you are beautiful in your holiness." And the Lord just went to work.
Boy, yeah.
Powerful stuff. We could go on for weeks talking about this. Thanks for being with me, guys.
Thanks, Stephen.
Listen, we want to make sure that you're logging on to the website at derekprince.org. We push it because it's such a feeding center. You'll not only find this particular teaching, you'll find other teachings by Derek Prince on a whole lot of great information about Derek Prince Ministries. We want you to partner with us to change the world. We want you to get fed. We want you to live out the legacy, not just of Derek Prince, but of Jesus Christ. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, Visit us on the web at derekprince.org.